Lauren, after tonight, you will be authorized by virtue of your ordination to the Sacred Order of Priests to celebrate the Eucharist. Doubtless plans are already in place for your first celebration, and I know you will want to cherish the experience and you will want it to be memorable. Let me share with you then the story of my own first celebration, which was set to occur at Sunset Beach with the St. Peter Charlotte Youth Group the Sunday following my ordination in early May of 1987, almost exactly 24 and a half years ago. I rose early on that Sunday morning and got everything prepared on the deck overlooking the ocean. I set out the bread and the wine. I rehearsed in my mind how the service would flow, and I went back inside to greet everyone. And I was feeling settled and well prepared until one of the Nicholson boys came running up exclaiming, "The seagulls are eating the communion bread." So I went out to survey the damage, and sure enough, the seagulls had helped themselves to the bread. Fortunately, there was a second loaf available, and this time we made sure that we didn't put it on the bread on the table too soon, but assigned one of the youth to stand guard over the bread until it was time to prepare the table. And even then, I celebrated with one eye fixed on the seagulls that continued to hover over the table, apparently thinking that the meal was somehow intended chiefly for them. I mention this just in case you ever decide to take the youth from St. Paul's to the beach. You might as well learn from my cautionary tale. But I mention it chiefly because it discloses one aspect of what it means to be a priest, namely the protective role that we must play sometimes. Jesus claims this role for himself when he describes what it means to be the good shepherd. It means to be fiercely protective of the sheep. Jesus contrasts his own commitment with that of the hired hand, who is only in it for the secondary gains and who splits at the first sign of trouble. Rather, for Jesus, safeguarding the vulnerable is of paramount importance, even at the risk of his own safety and security, even if it means sacrificing comfort and well-being and even life itself. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now let me hasten to add that I'm well aware that protecting communion bread from marauding seagulls is not worthy to be compared with the sacrificial actions of our Lord. It's a bit ridiculous, if the truth be told, but that's also part of ministry. We don't always get a starring role in the drama of salvation. Sometimes we provide the comic relief. It's good to be reminded there's one good shepherd, and it isn't you and it isn't me.
Yeah.
My friend Dick Hildebrand, longtime Presbyterian minister in Hillsboro, tells the story of being asked to consult with a congregation that was experiencing conflict with their pastor. So he went to confer with the pastor to get that pastor's perspective on what might be the matter. As Dick reported, he knew as soon as the minister opened his mouth the source of the problem, when the minister looked Dick straight in the eye and said, "I'm the shepherd, they're the sheep." Not quite. Christ is the true shepherd, and we're all sheep, even the priests and bishops among us. Let me call your attention to the rubric which follows upon the invitation to communion. You can find it, on page 20 of your booklet. It says, "The ministers receive the sacrament in both kinds, and then immediately deliver it to the people. We who stand at the altar are fellow recipients of the grace of God. We stand in the same relationship to the sacrament as those we serve. And we are called to move immediately from our own reception to the work of assisting others to receive. Ultimately, the work of serving others belongs to the whole people of God. As we heard in the portion of the letter to the Ephesians read earlier, the responsibility for seeing to the well-ordering of the body of Christ belongs to each and every one of us. For the body to grow stronger, we must each do our work properly and well and exercise the particular gifts for ministry that we have been granted in concert with the gifts of others. And that, I think, is where the lasting joy of being a priest can best be found. It's not in the quality of our own work, but in the witness to the gospel of those around us who make the truths that we proclaim week after week come alive in their own lives. Last year, about this very time, a member of St. Matthew's in Hillsboro donated one of her kidneys. And on a Sunday morning in Birmingham, Alabama, as she thought about what she was soon to undergo, she wrote this blog, and I share it with you. The outpouring of love and support, starting at home and extended beyond my circle of friends, both amazes and enables. I keep thinking about the end of the service at St. Matthew's when the priest blesses the sacrament to be taken out to the parishioners who are infirm, and it is said, take this bread and this blood and the blessings of God to so-and-so from this community. It's as if I've come to Birmingham bearing this gift for Freddie from an entire community. Our families that have risen to the occasion even with misgivings and concerns, my friends who have loved, encouraged, and reminded me that I am free to change my mind and still be loved and accepted, folks who are pitching in back home and doing a little extra here and there to make sure my children are minimally impacted. This gift is from you all. Thank you for joining in with me to offer Freddie a chance to continue living his life. As a priest, those are the moments you live for. When you see the gospel you have proclaimed week after week take hold in the lives of those you seek to serve, and you see the gospel made manifest in remarkable ways, then you become the recipient of their testimony to the truth you have sought to teach. And your own faith is enlivened by theirs. Archbishop Michael Ramsey bears witness to the same point in his wise little book entitled The Christian Priest Today. Father Michael writes to those about to be ordained, you teach year after year about joy, and when you get stale and worse, you will see Christian joy in another, and you will be revived. For all the apathy and secularism and moral corruption around us, these Christians bring to life the faith entrusted to us. Be ready for such experiences, and you will know more and more, and other people will know more and more, that the doctrine and the sacraments and the disciplines belong to Christ because you belong to Christ. And so, Lauren, my sister, be fiercely protective of those you are called to serve. Safeguard the vulnerable who are given into your care. Be their advocate and their shield as Jesus would guard all those entrusted to him. But do not let that drive a gulf between you and them. Remember also that we are not called to be shepherds only. We are called to be fellow recipients of the grace and love of God. And if we are privileged to nourish others, so also we are privileged to be nourished by them. For we all need protecting and nurturing if the whole body is to grow strong and healthy. So teach and be taught. Serve and be served. Love and be loved. And take your place in the unfolding of this wondrous and mysterious plan of salvation.